ChristianCommunity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. I just one as a worship team leaves, can we just give a thank you to them? Because every week in and out, week in and week out, they're kind of pouring things out for us. And even just as Bob prayed, I was thinking how relevant some of the things that we just sang about are in regards to Jesus and making a way, and Father's Day, and how it all connects. Because you know, if you're like me, we're hard on ourselves sometimes, and even when we're not hard on ourselves, we all know we mess up and make mistakes, and we so badly need Jesus. And I just appreciated that prayer and that worship time. So thanks, guys, for leading us in that. We're diving into a series for the summer. It kind of more of a focus for the summer, but we'll call it a series. And the series itself is called Tough Questions. We asked for some feedback over the last few weeks. Just what are some of your questions from the Bible or about life or things that we could be looking at throughout the summer? And so we're going to be, throughout the summer, focusing in on those questions that were submitted. They're questions like this, just so you know where we're headed eventually here. How do I study God's Word? How can I get the most out of it? Why do bad things happen to good people? Actually, the original part of the question was, why do bad things happen? And then, does God intervene in our world on our behalf, like he did in the past? How do I keep myself from being changed by the world? What exactly did Jesus mean when he said, make disciples? Can our prayers get people into heaven after they die? Can you help me understand better the work of the Holy Spirit? So those are some of the questions, just a little primer to let you know some questions we'll be taking on over the summer. There are a few others. We won't get to all the questions that were given, but we'll get to most. And then some of the questions that were given were way too loaded to cover in 1 week or just on a one-message thing. So some of them we'll actually be able to address in some various series that'll take place down the road throughout the next year or so. And so excited to dive into this idea of tough questions. We're going to start, though, today with a little bit of an overview, just a general idea of some things that we want to keep in mind as we're diving into this series, rather than answering specific questions. So we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 2. If you want to turn there, in the Bibles in the back there, it's page 528 is where we'll be focusing in. And we'll get to that passage in just a moment. Now, the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, who lived about 950 years before the time of Jesus. He was the son of David, who was considered the greatest king in the history of Israel by far. And Solomon was specifically known for having incredible wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4 says this about Solomon: and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Skipped all the descriptiveness there, okay? So his fame was in all the nations because of his wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of Solomon's wisdom and his wise sayings. He wrote them in the spirit of this, passing on this wisdom and these insights from a father to a son. So I thought that would be pretty appropriate to mention here on Father's Day, this wisdom of a father passing things on to their son. So in that spirit is what he writes in chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. They'll be up on the screens if you have it in your Bibles here. I want to ask you, though, this morning as we look at this passage, will you read it with me? Okay? So we'll read this together. Nice and loud, nice and proud. It's okay if you mess up, okay? So, chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon writes, read it with me. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Okay, so we're going to dive into that passage this morning. Three things that Solomon says he wants his son to pursue. Maybe you caught them as we read through. Three things also that I should mention. These are things God wants us to pursue. That's why he's put it in his word. So the three things that we should pursue. First of all, knowledge. Knowledge. And knowledge is to be acquainted with facts, truths, or principles, either from study or investigation. Okay, knowledge is to be acquainted with facts, truth, or principles, either from study or investigation. Said another way, it's the ability to accumulate information about something. Right? So when it comes to knowledge, you either know something or you don't. If it were a test that you were taking, it would be like, okay, multiple choice question. What's the correct answer? A, B, C, or D? Do you know it or do you not? Now, fortunately, when it's multiple choice questions, you have a chance of getting it right, even if you don't know the answer. Because if you don't know, you can take a guess. But the idea behind the question is, do you know it or not? Or a fill-in-the-blank question, right? Can you put the right word in the blank space that makes the answer correct? So these kinds of questions on a test would be asking the question, do I know the information? Right? That's what knowledge is about. Do I know the information? And so that's the first thing that Solomon says, seek knowledge. Second thing he says is understanding. Understanding is to perceive the meaning of, to grasp the idea of, or to comprehend something. To perceive the meaning of, to grasp the idea of, or to comprehend something. Now this goes a little bit beyond facts and information. Right? This is a little deeper than knowledge, because you can actually use the facts and the information to explain something. So if this were a question on a test, it would probably be in the short answer segment or in the essay segment, right? What can you do with the information that you know? Those questions are simply finding out, do I comprehend the information? Not just can I regurgitate it. You know, knowledge is really good for like Trivial Pursuit. Y'all hate that guy, right? Who knows like everything and you can't, you're way behind. They're all the way around the board. They got all their pie pieces filled in. They know things. But understanding goes that step further, and it's about explaining it, understanding the reason behind it. You can use it, you grasp the meaning of it, the purpose of it, the idea of it. You really comprehend it. So do I comprehend the information? Okay, and then the third thing that he says to pursue, and this is kind of the highest level of what he talks about, wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Wisdom is the power of discerning or judging properly as to what is right or true. Wisdom is the power to discern and judge properly as to what is true or right. So wisdom goes another step further. It takes the knowledge and the understanding, all the facts and information, puts it all together, and it applies it to a real-life circumstance. Okay, so if this were a test, it might be the lab portion of your work, where you have to put into practice what it is you know. It might be a case study where you've got to work it out based on your knowledge and your understanding of that knowledge. Okay, so wisdom is the third level. And the goal of the questions on a test like that would be to determine is, can I apply this information? Right? Can I do something with this information? Can I apply it? So these are three things Solomon wants his son to pursue. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And of course, again, as I talk about Solomon wanting his son to understand these things or to have these things, they are things that God wants for us to have as well. He's put them in his word. Now Solomon, when he writes this, he appeals to his son with a number of different words that describe what he wants his son to do. Verses 1 through 4, he uses these words. He says, receive it. Right? He says, receive, to take it in, like to take it on, like someone takes or receives a husband or a wife in marriage. Right? Receive it. He says, treasure it up. In other words, store it. Hang on to it. Treasure it up. Make your ear attentive to it. In other words, pay attention. to these things. Incline your heart to it. The idea of incline is the idea of bending and stretching out, like to reach for something or to get something. So incline your heart to it. Call out for it and raise your voice for it. Will you just cry out for this wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Will you seek it, he says. Seek it. Make every effort to find it like silver and search for it. Look for it everywhere as you would for hidden treasures. Okay, so these are the words that Solomon uses to appeal to his son about understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Why does he make such a strong appeal? Why does he appeal here, and why does God appeal here to us to receive, to treasure, to pay attention, to incline your heart, to cry out for, to seek, to search for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? Because they're that important. They are that important. And verse 5 says, if you do these things, here's what will follow. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, maybe, like many people, when you hear those two verses, you get hung up on one particular phrase that jumps out at you based on a four-letter word in verse 5, fear. Right? Fear of the Lord. This isn't the only time in Proverbs that fear of the Lord is mentioned. It certainly isn't the only time in Scripture that it's mentioned. In fact, Proverbs 1:7 is the summary statement in the overview of the book, and you might be familiar with this verse. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, we might get this image of dread and terror. That might come to mind. We might have this image like God is up above, he's got lightning bolts in both hands, he's ready to rain down fire from heaven for every little thing that we do wrong in our life. We picture God, the God of wrath, the God of vengeance, the God of judgment, the God of power. Now, God is all those things. We can't separate that out from who he is. But fear of the Lord is not intended to be the image of like a servant who's punished by a cruel taskmaster when he makes an honest mistake. Fear of the Lord is not like this image of a child who's horrified by the terrible monster hiding under the bed. It's not that kind of fear. To fear the Lord is to have a holy, humble reverence for God. To fear the Lord is to have a holy, humble reverence for God. Because God wants us to know that real knowledge, real understanding, real wisdom, it starts with acknowledging him. It starts by having this holy, humble reverence for God. One commentary I was reading through said this, fools are those who have no wisdom, who follow their own devices without regard to reason or reverence for God. Without acknowledging God, so all other so-called wisdom is vain and useless. Why is that? Because God is the one who gives real knowledge and understanding and wisdom. He's the source of it all. That's what Proverbs 2:6 says. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So it would be foolish of us, according to these scriptures, what God says, what Solomon wrote, it would be foolish for us to try, for instance, explaining the origins of the universe while taking God out of the equation. I think it would be foolish for us to try to pass some laws about marriage without considering what God's word has to say about it. It would be foolish for us to try talking to our kids or adults about moral standards without the instructions that God gives us. And the key idea is this, you can't remove God and still find true wisdom. You can't remove God and still find true wisdom because he is the source. From him come wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's why it's so important that we seek him and that we seek these things, Scripture says. Now, here's the good news. God will give us wisdom if we ask. Okay, that's the next thing on our outline, I believe. Oh, we're past that. We'll go one more. Okay, God will give us wisdom if we ask. See, he's not going to leave us empty-handed if we're seeking him out. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Okay, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. Scripture tells us that. God will give us wisdom if we ask. If we're genuinely seeking God, he's not going to make it hard to find him. Right? He wants us to find him. If we're genuinely seeking his wisdom, he wants to give it to us. So ask, and we'll receive it. And we'll receive it generously, the scripture says. Now, the last point, last thing for today is this, that there is a warning that kind of comes along with all this talk about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Even when God has given us his wisdom, we still have to choose to live by it. Okay? We still have to choose to live by it. Now, this passage, as we said, is written by Solomon. He had knowledge. He had understanding. He had wisdom. Great wisdom, the scripture talks about. But he still chose to operate outside of what God wanted for him. So in Deuteronomy, long before Solomon had come to be a king, God had given instructions about future kings, and this is being conveyed in the book of Deuteronomy. It says this in Deuteronomy 17, and these are like instructions for kings, which they didn't even have a king yet at the time, but there were still instructions for kings that were to come. It says this, when you come into the land that the Lord God is giving you, and you possess it, and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. Excuse me. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Those were instructions that were given for kings. That would apply to King Solomon. Don't accumulate excessive wealth for yourself. Don't put foreigners over the people. Don't have multiple wives. Three pretty clear instructions here. So what did Solomon do? 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh. Egypt, exactly where they're not supposed to go back to. A Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So his concern wasn't just separation from the people for the sake of those other people. His concern was his heart being set on God. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Verse 9, a little bit later on in Deuteronomy, or in 1 Kings 11, says this, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord God commanded. So God even spoke directly to him about this issue, not just once, but twice, and Solomon ignored him. He did things that God specifically told him not to do. So, all of this knowledge, all of this understanding, all of this wisdom were thrown out the window. Now imagine a modern-day scenario, maybe a little separate from some scriptural things, just to give a picture of this idea of foolishness and following God and that sort of thing. Imagine this scenario where you had a problem with your home computer. Now, I know that's not too difficult to imagine, because if you have a home computer, you likely have problems with it, right? You're probably experiencing some, maybe even these days, right? You go see this computer specialist, unless you happen to be one. You go see this computer specialist, an expert on this thing, and he or she gives you step-by-step instructions on how to fix it. What would they be giving you? They'd be giving you knowledge, the knowledge that you need to fix the problem. Well, after talking it through a little further with them, you get a greater picture of what's going on, you have a greater comprehension. You would say you have enough understanding of these steps and why you're supposed to do them, and you're confident that it would solve the problem. And because you know a little bit about computers, you're confident that you have the wisdom to fix it. So you go home, you start working on the computer, but after about 20 minutes, you say to yourself, you know what? I don't really think these steps are all that necessary. Right? I'm not sure I really need to do these things. And I can skip a few of them. In fact, I'm going to add a couple more of my own steps in here because I think that might turn out pretty cool. And so you deviate from the plan. The computer expert gave you. The computer expert gave you this plan. But you deviate from it, and in the end, you've got one really messed up computer. How many times as Christians do we do something like that? Right? And I'm not, I know I'm right there with you on this, but sometimes we do the same thing with God. We have the knowledge we need. Right? We know what God wants from us. We understand, we have understanding. We understand even why it's important to Him and important for us. We're wise enough to know how to apply it to our own lives, but instead of following His instructions completely, we skip a thing or two. And maybe we add some of our own thoughts into the mix, our own insights, our own wisdom. And eventually, there are just areas of our life where we end up way off track. It's kind of a mess. Here's something I think we need to remember, that all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the wisdom in the world will do us no good unless we choose to live by it. Right? That was the key point. We have to choose to live by it. It's not going to do us any good if we acquire it and then ignore it. Otherwise, just like Solomon, we're throwing that wisdom out the window. Now, I mentioned these things this morning not to just make us feel guilty or that sort of thing, but we're going to be entering into a summer where we're asking some tough questions. We're looking for wisdom, right? We're seeking knowledge and understanding and wisdom just like Solomon told us to, just like God wants us to. But I want to encourage you to do that with the right heart. With the right heart. Don't just look to get the information, the knowledge. Don't just be content to gain an understanding of what God wants and of His Word. Don't stop at the point of having the wisdom, the ability to discern what's right and what's wrong. We actually need to do that. We need to be determined to live by them. So that's the challenge, that's the encouragement for you this morning and for me as well as we work through some of the questions this summer. Right? Let's ask God for His wisdom. Let's look to gain insight and understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. But let's be determined that when we discover it, we're going to pursue Him and we're going to live by it. Now, just on a practical level, as you look at your bulletins, there's a flap on the side that we just have a tough challenge. We'll try and do something like this each week. And along this lines, in sort of a reflection moment for yourself, I would just like to encourage you to take some time this week to look at those questions, to consider those questions prayerfully between you and God. They have to do with wisdom and whether we're really willing to seek Him out and to follow what we discover. And I just encourage you to take time to take that tough challenge, to do that tough challenge this week, just time between you and God in regards to His wisdom. So let's pray, and we'll be wrapped up for this morning. Father God, thanks so much for Your Word. Thanks so much for Your desire for us to grow in our knowledge, our understanding, our wisdom that is coming from You. And because it comes from You, God, we want to have our hearts focused on Your ways and Your words. We pray that You would give us not just the ability to comprehend and to gain and grow in our wisdom and our knowledge and our understanding throughout this summer. But we also pray that you would give us the strength to live by what you've given us. We are confident that as you've promised, when we seek you out, when we ask for your wisdom, you will give it to us. But as we receive it, God, we ask that you give us the ability to live by it. We know we need your strength. We know we need you to accomplish that. And so we ask for that this morning. God, be with us as we go. Prepare our hearts for an incredible time to connect next week in our big day out. And God, may it be a day that allows us to just enjoy each other as a community, but also to keep our hearts turned towards you. So we pray that you be with us as we leave this place today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us again this morning. Help yourself, please, to refreshments and snacks that we've got going on. Happy Father's Day to the dads out there. And we'll see you next week at the Big Porticos Day Out.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.